But now, the White House has caused quite a stir in Europe this week following the release of its new national security strategy. The document, which outlines the Trump administration's foreign policy agenda, starkly criticizes Europe, and it doesn't cast Russia as a threat to the US. And overnight, in an interview with the US website Politico, the US president has called European leaders weak while claiming European civilization is being eroded by immigration.
I have eyes. I have ears. I have knowledge. I have vast knowledge. I see what's happening. I get reports that you will never see. And I think it's horrible what's happening to Europe. I think it's endangering Europe as we know it.
Natalie Tocci is a director of the International Affairs Institute in Italy and a former special advisor to EU high representatives. Natalie Tocci, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Lovely being with you.
I think it's fair to say that the new national security strategy has caused quite a stir, particularly in Europe. What are the key takeaways that you see in this strategy?
We often think of Donald Trump as being inconsistent, incoherent, and unpredictable. But actually, I think that if we read the strategy, it is a fairly coherent ideological worldview. So we've long passed the day of a view of democracies versus autocracies. But we have also long passed the moment of this is all about geopolitical rivalry between great powers. What I think this strategy does, and it puts certainly Europe or countries like Australia in a difficult position, is that it paints a vision of what I would define as imperial collusion. So essentially, there is the first of the empires, and that's the United States of America. But then there's a certain, let's say, legitimacy implicitly granted to other empires or wannabe empires, be this Russia or be it, in fact, China.
Is it an accommodation of other powers in the world?
Yeah, I think it's an accommodation of other great powers in the world and a sense that those other great powers, and I think that we are literally talking about Russia and China, in a sense have a degree of legitimacy in terms of when it, when it comes to their aspirations to have, and this is why I haven't used the word colony, to have their, quote unquote, spheres of influence. And so I think that essentially the Trump administration views Russia's aspirations to colonize Ukraine and probably not just Ukraine as legitimate in certain respects, in the same ways it considers China probably to have its legitimacy when it wants to exert its control over its sphere of influence. And this is, I think, again, what's so difficult because, for us Europeans, coming back to the colonial menu, we're basically torn in between two empires or wannabe empires in a world in which what we thought were, rules and norms of institutions are essentially being undermined.
So do you think this is a turning point in the relationship between the US and Europe, or is it a logical continuation of Donald Trump's, somewhat antipathy towards Europe?
Well, I mean, I think, up until when there, this administration remains in place, I think that we should think of this as being the strategy. I mean, this is not just what is written in the national security strategy. It's what, Vice President J.D. Vance told Europeans in Munich at the Munich Security Conference back in February. It is the actions of the Trump administration, particularly as far as Ukraine is concerned and the siding with Russia in the Ukraine war. So, be it what they say, be it what they do, be it now what they write, there's a certain consistency there. So I think it would only be wise for us to assume that this is the policy. Now, I mean, is it going to be the policy forever? Well, I don't know. Hopefully not. But I think that it's only wise for us to assume the worst. And then, of course, if the worst doesn't materialize or if at some point it's reversed, then all the better.
Well, that uncertainty makes it difficult for Europe, doesn't it? If it's a big shift from the last US administration and potentially that could shift again when there is the next inhabitant of the White House, how difficult does that make it for Europe to plan for its own security?
Well, I think that we should be planning for a change, which is a structural change for good. I think it would be very naive for us to simply think that this is going to go away and all we have to do is wait it out. And then, you know, the good old days of the transatlantic relationship will be back. I think that, you know, we may well have a future in which there is a positive transatlantic relationship, but I think it will probably be a different one compared to what it was in previous decades. I think that there is a structural shift underway. And if there is a positive relationship out there in future, it is probably one which is more balanced across the Atlantic. At the moment, it's a little, you know, you can almost think of this as a couple getting divorced. You know, maybe the day will come in which they become good friends, but there probably needs to be a moment of separation. And I think this is a moment of separation and of Europeans building their own autonomy. Now, is this easy? No, it's not. You know, I mean, getting over 8 decades of dependence is not going to be easy. But is it necessary? Of course it is. And, you know, do we really have a choice? No, we don't.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, where I'm talking with Natalie Tocci, Director of the International Affairs Institute, about the new US foreign policy strategy. Natalie, you mentioned before, obviously, the situation in Ukraine is critical to the question of security in Europe at the moment. What do you make of this security strategy and its approach to Russia, not recognising it as a significant threat? How does this play into the peace talks that seem to be on again, off again? What message does this send at this time?
Well, it's a message in which, indeed, the United States is siding with Russia in this war. And this is obviously a shock and comes as a shock to many Europeans and, of course, to Ukrainians themselves. But I think it is now consolidating as a reality. And, you know, the sooner we smell the coffee, the better it is. Now, does this therefore mean that Ukraine is going to be forced to capitulate to Russia? Actually, I don't think that this is the case. Now, you know, what we've seen actually since the beginning of the Trump administration is that U.S. military support for Ukraine has actually gone down, and it's gone down to the point of almost reaching zero, in the sense that if we bracket out the support provided on intelligence, actually the military support to Ukraine is almost zero. I mean, these are basically weapons that the United States no longer gives to Ukraine, but at most sells to Europeans that in turn give them to Ukraine. So in a way, for all the pressure that the Trump administration is exerting on Kyiv, and it's exerting a lot of pressure on Kyiv, I actually don't think that, oddly, the United States has the leverage to impose upon Kyiv a capitulation. By capitulation, I should probably define what I mean there. It is basically an acceptance of all of Russia's requests, including the withdrawal of Ukraine from territories that Russia has not been able to occupy militarily over the last 11 years of war. I don't see Ukraine essentially doing that, you know, no matter how much pressure the United States is going to impose on them.
Natalie Tocci, thank you for your insights this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Natalie Tocci is the director of the International Affairs Institute in Italy and a former special advisor to EU High Representatives.